We're going to come back from recess of the Rules Committee, and now we're going to open a work session. Oh, this is the big one.
Keep the hard copy.
Well, I've got it right now. That's good. On Senate Bill 998A.
Okay.
Going the other way. And we're going to have Gina Zeldick come up to go through it. Everybody should have the amendments. They're going to be passed out as we speak.
Is that 21?
23. Which is a compilation of all the others into one. And as soon as everybody has them in their possession.
22 and 23.
There we go.
I don't know if we have ever had are going to get 22.
This includes
includes all the other kind of things. Everything.
The whole ball wire.
Just thought it was easier than going through one of them each at a time. So. And we have our revenue and our fiscal statements on those now. So with that. We'll have a short explanation. Well, it doesn't have to be short. An explanation. Gina Zeldick.
Jay Roblin, members of the committee. My name is Gina Zeldick from the Office of Legislative Counsel, and I will try and be quick, walking you through the -A23 amendments to Senate Bill 998. These amendments add on to Senate Bill 998, so they don't delete any part of it. And I'll just walk you through that really quickly. Sections 15 and 16 incorporate what I believe is House Bill, the contents of House Bill 1043, which clarifies that staff may explain a member's vote on a bill that is subsequently referred to the people. And then in sections 18 and 19, these sections prescribe the ballot title for HJR 101 and legislative argument in support of HJR 101. It also goes through and clarifies that the regular process for preparation of financial impact statements and explanatory statements are normal, except they direct the Secretary of State to, by rule, implement shorter timelines because HJR 101 is going to the primary election on May 18th. So some of the timelines that are currently in statute have already passed. So. That's what 18 and 19 do. Section 20 talks about HJR 13 from 2009. This was referred to the primary election in May during the 2009 session. However, a legislative argument in support was not drafted, so this measure includes that argument, which will appear in the voters' pamphlet in May. Section 21. Prescribes the ballot title for SJR 48 from this session. That is going to the November election, so all the normal regular processes for coming up with financial impact statement and explanatory statement will happen in the next few months before that election, and it's the same thing for SJR 41. It prescribes the ballot title only.
For judicial review.
And for... So for HJR 101, we've prohibited judicial review given the short timeline for the May election. However, for SJR 48 and SJR 41, if a person doesn't like the ballot title or has issue with it, they may petition the Supreme Court for review before the November election.
Question, Representative Berger.
Thank you, Gina. I'm quickly making notes here as you're speaking. I understood that the HJR 9 was from last session, and it does go in May, but no, it goes in November.
Chair Rowland, member at the committee. HJR 13?
13, I'm sorry.
From 2009 is going to the May election, primary.
But there's no judicial review, or there is judicial review?
That process has already happened. It's only the legislative argument that appears in the voter's pamphlet. The usual process is that a committee is convened.
Oh, okay.
But so that timeline is already passed.
so this is catch-up.
Yes.
I got it. I got it.
Mustard and pickle lily.
Yeah, I got it. Thank you for that explanation.
Yeah.
Other questions on how this goes? And I know here at the end of the session stuff comes very quickly and it's hard to read all of it, and I would love to give you as much time as I can, but We don't have as much time as we can.
But you're not going to.
But we don't have as much time as we can.
You just came from Ways and Means, Representative.
Oh, that's true. So are there any other questions on this bill as it is now, or this amendment, which is primary? Yes, Representative Fanning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You're in a work session on this bill?
Yes.
So you intend to move it?
I do.
Okay. I guess what I'm going to say is, prior to getting here, I was on board. I believe I'll still be on board, but I want to reserve the right to thoroughly vet this piece in my own spare time so that I really have read the entire bill. So I will give it the courtesy from the committee, but I'm going to look it over very closely.
Appreciate that. Thanks, sir. Any other comments? Representative Nolan.
Mr. Chair, I move the -A23 amendment into Senate Bill 998.
Representative Nolan moves the -A23 amendments to Senate Bill 998A. Is there any discussion of the amendments? Seeing none. Is there any opposition to the amendments? Seeing none. So ordered. Representative Nolan.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 998A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Nolan moves Senate Bill 998A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Seeing none, we'll take a roll call vote.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Representative Berard?
Aye.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Representative Gelser?
Aye.
Representative Hanna?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
Aye. Yeah.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Vice Chair Berger?
Aye.
And Chair Roblin?
Aye. Motion carried, passes. I'll carry this bill as much fun as that will be. I'm sure it will be. We are going to close our work session on 998. A Senate bill, and we're going to open a work session on SJR 41. You should just be getting the revenue and fiscal statements. Did I say that wrong? So we're going to open the work session. And again, we have a very short amendment, and I'll let you give an explanation of that, and then.
I apologize. It's the change of days to number of days from 135 calendar days in odd numbers of years being increased to 165 days in the -A9 amendment.
So, Representative Nolan.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move the -A9 amendment into SJR 41.
Representative Nolan moves the -9 amendments into SJR 41. Any discussion? Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what this means on the Senate Joint Resolution 41 is that the total time period changed to 135, or that the odd numbered year went from
the
one?
Yes, that's the one. Odd numbered year goes from 135 to 165, and the even number stays the same, 45.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair.
Yes,
I'll just point out that in looking back at recent history, the 165-day limit is less than the amount of time that the legislature has met in any session, in any regular session, for the last two decades, except once. So this is lower than all but one of our regular sessions for the last two decades. I think that's a pretty tight limit on us.
Representative Jensen.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that we've gone from 180 to, 210 days, with possibility of 220 days.
Yes, with two-thirds majority, we can rate each of them could be fired. Yes. Yep.
And seems to be one of the primary motivations for this, is I'm remembering it from my history here, was to shorten the amount of time that the legislature was in session. And I don't see this accomplishing that mission. So that one of the things that bothers me. I have other concerns with the annual session, but I will go into those at this point.
Okay, thank you. Representative Gregg.
Just actually a question for the chair.
Sure.
How do you increase the number of days by 30 and not increase the expenses?
I would say that it would depend on whether you used all 30 of those days. What this does is set a constitutional limit of a total of 220. And this says there you can't go any more than that. And okay. Currently we have no limit in our Constitution, so that we can be in session as long as we want to be when we call ourselves in. And so there is no certainty with respect to our voters on the cost of a legislative session in a biennium session. This says, you know, regardless of what happens in the future, for however long, there is a maximum in the Constitution of 210 days.
Follow-up?
Yes.
And then you have to have a two-thirds or three-fifths vote to go beyond that.
Two-thirds vote, and you can only extend it by 5 days, either one of them. So that's a total of 10.
Five days is the maximum.
Maximum.
You can't come back after 5 and do another.
Well, I mean, if there was a special emergency kind of thing, you know, we had a, let's heavens forbid, some catastrophe, we could call ourselves into a special session. That's a different part of the Constitution. But with respect to, I think, yes, Representative.
Follow-up. So the two-thirds majority can be a 5-day extension, but only twice?
Once. In the first session and once in the odd and even session. So it would be a total of, my understanding.
It doesn't apply to either or.
Correct.
It's one at the end of either
right.
or.
That's how I read it, yeah. And that was, yeah. Other questions or concerns or thoughts? Representative Berger.
Mr. Chair, I would move the dash.
We already did it.
Okay, so we're voting on that.
On the amendment.
Okay.
Just the amendment.
I'm going to, Mr. Chair, I will give a courtesy vote to the amendment and then speak to the bill.
Okay, sounds good. So, any more discussion on the amendment? We're just talking about the amendment right now. Seeing none. Is there any objection to the amendment? There is. So we'll take a roll call vote on the amendment.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
No.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Representative Gelser?
Aye.
Representative Hanna?
No.
Representative Jensen?
No.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Vice Chair Berger?
Aye.
Chair Ripley?
Aye. Motion passes. Representative Nolan?
Mr. Chair, I move SJR 41A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Nolan moves SJR 41 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now's my chance to say that I will not be supporting this amendment to go to the floor, but I reserve the right to change my vote when it gets there.
Okay. Any other discussion on the total bill with the amendment? Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to compliment the majority party for giving us the opportunity to be included in the conversation. It is too bad that we've come to a point where we disagree on the final product, but I do appreciate that we were invited to and able to participate. As it started, it seemed as though, even for me, the idea around annual sessions being specific to dealing with budget rebalance, dealing with technical fixes, and dealing truly with emergency seemed like the right thing. I feel like I'm not alone in the idea that had we, from our opinion, stuck to that, there would have been a lot more support. I don't think extending the time period is the right thing to do, both from a process and or in the eyes of Oregonians, and I'll be a no vote on this issue.
I do want to acknowledge two things before I recognize the next person. We did get a letter last week when this session was happening, and I just want to make sure that it's noted for the record. OBA sent a letter, so it is part of the official record of this whole thing. And also to acknowledge that we had had at least one other amendment to this bill. So, Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've pretty consistently been opposed to the idea of annual sessions, and I have been for, to start off with, for one specific reason, and I have added a second reason to that as we have gone to the second annual session, I guess, the short session, we call it. And before I begin that, I would like to say that I acknowledge, where the motivation or where some of the motivation for the annual session comes from. I acknowledge that it's very difficult to run an organization the size of the state of Oregon when, in essence, the board of directors meets every other year. I certainly appreciate that. But my reason, for objection, in light of the fact, especially in light of the fact, that we are still a citizen legislature, and that it's very difficult for someone who commutes anywhere in the neighborhood of the distance that I commute, Representative Girard, and a number of others that we're all familiar with. It's difficult to fundamentally disrupt your household every year to come to Salem. I think the representative here and myself are basically able to do this without any great inconvenience because of the fact we're retired. And being retired, there's not that many things that get in the way except maybe a free trip that some lobbyists might give us to St. Kitts or someplace like that. But we can't draw, or we can't, I don't think it's fair to people, and I don't think it's fair to the state to look at drawing our membership in the House and the Senate from people who are financially independent. And I'll stop my thing here since the other committee is calling, and simply say that the other reason that I'm concerned is the speed with which things go through. I could have been perhaps coaxed to get closer if we'd put some additional sideboards here so that we didn't have so many bills in the 45-day session, but I don't think another 15 days is going to solve what I see as a major problem that at least I have felt in this session. That's the speed with which bills are introduced and come before us, and the lack of time that I have to be able to do the research that I feel like I need to do to be intelligent about.
So, Representative Hannah, and I've got two more on the queue.
I'll be very brief. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the committee understood, and unless I'm looking at the wrong copy of the bill, about the extension of the regular session, and this is in Section 3, a regular session as described in subsection 1 of the section may be extended for a period of 5 calendar days by the affirmative vote of 2/3 of the members of each house. A session may be extended more than once.
Oh, I missed that. Thank you.
So just so everybody knows, I think it just takes that vote, you could go 5 days okay. Multiple times.
Yep, we have a nod out there. So thank you for that, because you and I had read it the same, and thank you for the correction.
Thank Representative Reed.
Okay, thank you. Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and that gets to the point. I wanted to clarify that number of days absent supermajority extensions, and just make sure that the record is clear that with the -A9 amendment, the Constitution would limit absent some extraordinary vote, the legislative session in odd-numbered years to 165 days, and the legislative session during even-numbered years, the regular session during even-numbered years to 45 days for a total of 210 days, absent any other extraordinary decision.
Thank you. And thank you. Representative Gregg.
Just, Mr. Chair, to say I agree with my colleagues, Representative Jensen and Representative Hanna, and I'll be voting no for those reasons.
Thank you. Further discussion? Seeing none.
2 seconds.
We're going to take a short recess. You can put on recess. With that, we'll take a roll call vote.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
No.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Representative Gelser?
Aye.
Representative Hanna?
No.
Representative Jensen?
No.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Vice Chair Berger?
No.
Chair Roland?
Aye. Motion passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just remind the committee that I passed out amendment language last Friday in the hearing, and I would like to serve notice of possible intent to file a minority report.
So noted for the record. We will close our...
Carrier.
Yeah.
so nice of you to offer.
For right now, I will list myself as the carrier. So with that, we'll close the work session on SJR 41. And I don't know that we have anything left, do we?
What else is on the agenda?
But doesn't need to be. And this was still available if you needed it.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, I think we're okay. So I'm going to close our rules meeting for today.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.